إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا، أما بعد. All praise is due to Allah, we praise Him. We seek Allah's forgiveness and we ask Allah's assistance. And we seek refuge with Allah from the evil within our souls and the consequences of our bad deeds. Verily, whosoever Allah guides, no one can lead astray. And whosoever He allows to go astray because they do not want any guidance, then no one can guide. And I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah alone with no partners. And I bear witness that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger. May Allah exalt His mention, grant Him peace, His companions and all those who follow them on the righteous path until the day of judgment. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. O you who have believed, have taqwa of Allah, fear Allah, protect yourselves from the punishment of Allah the way Allah deserves it, and do not die except in the state of submission to Allah as Muslims. Brothers in Islam, to be frank with you, I had the intention this particular Friday to deal with the topic of music. Music and the ruling thereof. However, I received a phone call just a short while ago that reminded me of something that I believe is much more fundamental. A disease that is commonly spread. Perhaps there are only a few here and outside who are free from suffering this particular disease, suffering from this particular disease. And so I had a change of heart, subsequently a change of topic. So forgive me if my thoughts will be dispersed, as I did not make the necessary preparation. But I ask Allah's aid and assistance to deliver the message to you. It is on a surah in the book of Allah. A surah which Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i rahimahullah said concerning, had Allah not revealed anything but this surah upon His creation, it would have sufficed them. It would have been sufficient for them. He said, if people were to contemplate on this surah alone, then it will be enough. It will encompass everything you need to know. Am I speaking about Surah Al-Baqarah? No. Ali Imran? No. Al-Anfal? No. These are quite large surah. I'm speaking about one of the smallest surahs in the book of Allah. The smallest being Surah Al-Kawthar, and the one which we will be discussing today is Surah Al-Asr. I doubt anyone in this place who has been a Muslim for longer than a year who does not have this surah memorized. I highly doubt it. In fact, it is a surah that we recite when we are in a hurry. Even though the surah speaks about those who do not utilize time. Ironic it is. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. Rough translation. By time, Allah swears by the time, by the passage of time. An asset which is among the most valuable assets that a Muslim has in his life. Time. Allah swears by the passage of time being a witness over the attitude of the creation, a generation after generation. Our main disease is usage of time, utilizing time. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْر. Verily the human is immersed in loss, is immersed in loss, is drowning in loss. When the Sahaba heard this, they were troubled, and they were hoping that there will be a continuation, and in the continuation there will be an exception, otherwise we are all included. But by the grace of Allah, there was an exception. But that exception is not minor. That exception has to do with four things that if we were to evaluate ourselves, you and I will find that we have a long way to go before we acquire these four qualities. Those who believe and do righteous deeds and enjoin one another to good and enjoin one another to patience. And as the commentaries mention, the fact that Allah used the conjunction and, wa, means that all four must be present. When I say, as a teacher in class, I expect the following students to come, and I say Ahmed and Rabia and Mustafa and so forth, I mean all of them must come. If I said or, Ahmed can come or Mustafa, meaning whichever one comes, I'm fine with it. And the ayat don't mention aw or, it mentions and. Meaning we have to have all four. And ironically and amazingly, these four are so related to each other that each one is simply a manifestation of the previous one. If you don't have iman, if you don't believe, then how will you do righteous deeds? And if you had belief and you did righteous deeds, how can you keep it to yourself without sharing it with the people? And if you had iman and righteous deeds and you sharing it with the people, how would you then not have patience so you can continue to do that? This surah speaks of survival and not success. Survival and not success. And they are not synonymous. You could be successful and you could just simply need to survive. And the fact that you survived does not mean necessarily that you are successful. This ayah or the surah does not speak about Jannat Adnin tajri min tahtiha al-anhar, gardens under which rivers flow. It doesn't mention the reward. It speaks about those who will survive. Those who will simply survive. Those who are the exception to those who will be immersed in loss. My brothers in Islam, this is among the hugest misconceptions today among the Muslims. The concept of survival, the definition of survival and success are misunderstood by professors, let alone students. Today, if you have a big bank account with plenty of money, if your car is air conditioned and the year 2000 and above, if you have received your degree from some prestigious university, if you are married to a successful, beautiful woman, and if your children are also doctors and engineers and successful people like you, you are successful. Inshallah, you don't pray, you don't fast, or you have nothing to do with the deen of Allah. When the people look at you, they say, this is an example of a successful person. But this is not according to Allah. Not according to Allah. Allah said in this surah that everyone is a loser unless you have these four things. And everything I mentioned earlier is not involved or included in these four things. These are separate. We're not saying don't have them, don't do them, give up on life, go live on a mountain. No, 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 no. No extremism. We will continue to live a normal life. However, priority wise, or how we define success, the measurement of success is per Allah's definition
not the society and not human beings and philosophers. Very fundamental. Now let us see. Are you surviving? Am I surviving? Are you in fact qualified to be successful with Allah on the Day of Judgment? Iman is the first condition. And Iman is based on knowledge. If we don't have knowledge, we don't have Iman. The first thing that was revealed concerning Iman was Iqra. Bismi Rabbika alladhi khalaq. Recite in the name of your Lord who created. The first element of Iman, the Quran, the revelation, the first information that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam conveyed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was knowledge. Knowledge. If we were to present a quiz, as they do in schools and examinations nowadays, to the average Muslim about the articles of Iman, the definition of Iman, what does it mean when you say you believe in Allah? Is it merely believing in His existence? Is it merely believing that He's the Creator, Sustainer? If this is our definition, there is no difference between us and the Quraishis who rejected the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No difference whatsoever. They believed. وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. Allah told the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Quran, if you were to ask them, if you were to ask the disbelievers, the pagans, the idolaters, who created the heavens and the earth, they will say Allah. Allah. So it is not simply believing in the existence of Allah and Him being the Creator. There are two fundamental elements, categories of Tawheed, that the masses of Muslims are totally ignorant about, even though classes are being presented at our convenience. How little are those who show up, and how inconsistent. Once a month, once every 2 months if they show up, those who are excused, they're excuses with Allah. I'm not accusing anyone of negligence. Allah knows the affairs. But those who are negligent, Allah knows. These are at least the ones who show up. Don't ask about those who have no interest whatsoever. Not because they have work. Not because they have occupations. No, 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 no. Who cares? I know Iman, brother. Oh yeah? Oh yeah? Do you know? Do you know what Allah is? Do you know that Allah has a face? Do you know that Allah has hands? And if so, what is our belief system? What did Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah believe? What did Imam Shafi'i believe? What did Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad? What was their belief system concerning these matters? The average Muslim will say, I don't know. I don't know. Allah's everywhere. Allah's everywhere. A statement of disbelief. A statement of disbelief. I'm not saying the one who says it is a disbeliever, but if we were to evaluate the phrase, the statement, it's a statement of kufr. That will throw you outside of Islam. But this is the common answer by the average Muslim in this day and time. Is this Iman? Is this Iman in Allah? No, it is not. There's a lot more to it. Do we qualify? If we were asked about the angels, brother, define angels for me. The probable answer is whatever he perceived from the Christian background, some tiny baby with some wings on his back and a diaper. That's the concept of angels among the average people, because that's the only image of angels they see out in the market. But we have an Islamic definition which is in total opposition to the one I mentioned to you now. How many Muslims are able to define our belief in angels? What do they do? Jibreel, what is his job? Mikael, what is his job? Israfil, what is his job? Not that many will be able to give you satisfactory answers. When we speak about the belief in the messengers, what do we know about the messengers? Do they commit sins or are they sinless? What is their relationship with Allah? What is their relationship with the creation of Allah? Do we know about them? Can we enumerate some of them? Do we even know their names? Maybe most of us will be able to mention the five famous ones. Nuh, Ibrahim, Musa, Isa, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The rest Allahu alam. Believe in the scriptures. What do we know about the Quran? Oh, it's a nice book, brother. It costs 35 riyals at the bookstore. Okay? And what is in there? Well, I don't know Arabic. And I just read it in Ramadan, I think it's a wonderful, you know, it sounds very nice, beautiful recitation of our Imam. But you know, I really don't know the core of the message. It's, you know, about Tawheed and paradise and hell. But really, you know, I don't know what any ayah means. MashaAllah. MashaAllah. Ask the same young man or older man, can you explain to me this maze in geometry? Sure. And he will give you a whole answer about algebra, geometry, biology, chemistry, physics, anything in the world. Alatul. Tell him 2000 multiplied by 355, he may give you the answer immediately. He has it memorized. But tell him, give me an ayah from the book of Allah. Well, brother, you know, I'm not really a da'i. I don't really give da'wah. I'm just an average Muslim, so I don't need to know this. MashaAllah. This is Iman? This is Iman? This is a joke? What about the Day of Judgment? Do we believe in the Day of Judgment? Sure. Heaven, hell, okay. Explain them. Tell me some of the punishments in Jahannam. No answer. How about some of the delights and the pleasures of Jannah? No answer. Okay, if we believe in the last day, where's the preparation? No preparation. That is not belief. If I told you, if I was your teacher in school, and I told you that there's a final exam next week, if you truly believe, you will study. If you don't study, you don't really believe me. Even though you may say, I know teacher, you wouldn't lie. I know you would never lie. If you said there's an exam, I'm sure there's an exam. But that's not belief. That's only accepting information. Belief must materialize. Belief must make you make a change. We believe in the last day. What are we doing about it? Very little. Too busy, brother. Trying to earn a living and raise my children and, you know, build our house. No time for Allah. No time for the deen. No time for establishing a solid relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And lastly, qadr. Preordainment. What do we know about preordainment? Until today, I continue to get these questions in person and via email. Brother, if Allah decreed everything, then why am I doing what I'm doing? What's the point? Why should I try to improve my life if Allah had already decreed that I would be a loser? Huge misconception about an article of faith with which we are able to understand the purpose of life. The fact that Allah preordained everything and gave us the free will. Another element of faith which many people cannot put their fingers on, let alone explain adequately to someone. To a Muslim, don't even ask about a non-Muslim asking for a definition. Is this Iman, my brothers in Islam? Is this the Iman that Allah spoke about when He mentioned those who will be an exception to the losers? No, wallahi no. He was speaking about those who truly believe. And because of that belief, if you are in doubt whether one of us believes or not, then look at the rest of the surah. If you believe, you will have to do righteous deeds. So you can pray sometimes and abandon salah some other times. Well, today I feel good, so let me pray. Tomorrow I'm feeling a little bad, no need for salah. What is this? Is this the attitude of a Muslim who believes in Allah on the last day? Is salah some optional, you know, joke? When you are in the mood, you do salah. When you're not in the mood, you don't do salah. If you're free, you pray on time. If you're busy, you pray later. People keep asking about qada. Brother, what about qada? Brother, can I pray all salawat after Isha? Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, after Isha. Why? I'm at school. School? School of what? School of loss? School of destruction? School of Jahannam? What kind of school are you going to? And what benefit is that school going to give you if you cannot establish Allah's right by praying five times a day? This is a school of the fools. And we cannot afford to be among them. Salah is a priority. Salah in the jama'ah is a priority. Salah in the first row is a priority. If you truly believe. If you truly believe. If you don't believe, it will make no difference to you. Whether you pray in jama'ah or not, it will make no difference. Our righteous predecessors, If one of them missed the Salah in congregation, he would be crying outside. People will come and give him condolences as if someone died in his family member. They will be traumatized because he missed one Salah in Jama'ah. How many times do we sleep during Fajr? Specifically nowadays when it comes in early. Unacceptable. Where's the righteous deeds, my brothers, that are the manifestation of our Iman? And if we have these two, then what are we doing for Islam? When was the last time you invited someone to Islam? When was the last time you discussed Islam among non-Muslims? In fact, when was the last time you spoke to your sinful family members about returning to Allah and fixing their relationship with them, with Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala? Many of us hang out with the most evil people as if nothing is going on. People insisting on sin, family members, friends. We say, well, you know, it's my friendship, brother. I cannot really compromise. I cannot afford to lose my friend. If I give him nasiha, if I advise him, he will not want to speak to me anymore. So then, I don't give him advice. He remains sinful and I am his buddy. Doesn't work in Islam. Allah said, if you don't have these four qualities, you're a loser. If you don't enjoin with others to that which is good, you are a loser. You must, as a fundamental condition to be an exception among those who will be losers, a fundamental condition is the iman, the righteous deeds, and enjoining people to that which is good. And lastly, but not least, patience. It takes patience. We cannot give up immediately. When you go out to the world, when you go to share Islam, you shall be attacked. It's a promise. You are not better than the messengers. If they were not protected by Allah from being attacked, do not think that one of us is an exception. Muslims will attack you. Non-Muslims will attack you. Family members will warn against you. He became a Wahhabi. He became crazy. He was fine the other day. Now everything is practicing Islam. What happened to our buddy? What happened to our relative? You become insane among your own people. Why? Because you're trying to live up to Islam. Amazing. Amazing situation of the Muslims. If we don't have patience, we will give up. You will say, okay, yeah, you know what? Maybe I'm extreme. I think I'm extreme. Let me slow down a little bit. And so a person starts gradually abandoning the teachings of Islam until he goes back to his old ways. While I sit down, I want you to reflect upon these four. How many of them are we fulfilling in our lives? And are we ready to meet Allah and guaranteeing ourselves that we will not be among these losers? This is something that requires a lot of thinking. I hope inshallah Allah will give us the success to think about it now and later on when the khutbah is over. الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Brothers in Islam, wallahi, the matter is so simple yet complicated. It is so simple in the way it is presented, but we somehow make it very, very complicated until the simplicity is gone between the lines. Let me rephrase for you the concept of life. Let me give you the definition of the concept of life. We are slaves to our master. We are the property to our owner, who gave us every single thing that we have. وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. There isn't a single bounty which you enjoy except that it is from Allah. Everything. Everything, everything. The master. We are the slaves. The slaves of the master. And the slave of the master does not go against his master. When the master gives you a task to carry out, you cannot abandon it and call yourself a good slave. You become automatically a wicked slave.
If your master tells you to paint the wall, and he comes in and sees you drinking tea, then do not expect them to be happy with you, and don't expect any reward either. Rather expect the whip and some lashing. This is the reality of mastery and slavery. And I'm not speaking about the way it is done in the Western world, where a race will enslave another race, because we don't have that. But Allah decreed that there were people that were free and others that were slaves, irrespective of their skin color and nationality and race. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed this to be in this world as an example for us to understand the nature of our relationship with Him. When you see the relationship between the slave and the master, then we are able to understand our relationship with our master. However, the master of the dunya and the master of the creation, the master in the dunya, your master and our master are not the same. The one who has a slave in this dunya may oppress you, he may wrong you, he may burden you, and he may punish you without any just cause. But our master, Allah Azza wa Jal, will never do that. On the other hand, he has promised reward and bounty and entertainment if we were to carry out our task. So my brothers in Islam, if this is the concept of life, a slave owned by a master, given a particular task to carry out, what are we doing? What are we busy with? What has deluded us from Allah? When are we going to understand the concept, this basic concept, and act accordingly? I see the same faces Friday after Friday. And those who give khutbah, they see the same thing. The brothers who speak from this minbar are not aliens. They are people from the community who watch and observe. They know they gave lectures. They know they gave reminders. And when they see no change, it hurts in the heart. It is painful. Because it means that either we are not delivering the message, or the brother does not understand the message. Basic message, basic reminder, but those who take heed can be counted on the fingers. And the vast majority continue with their own ways. They are entertained. Brother, wonderful khutbah. Jazakallahu khairan. Nice khutbah, brother. When are you giving the khutbah? I want to attend. For what? To hear me scream? Just so I can scream and bother you? Or so you can make a change? I don't want you to come here and entertain yourself with the khutbah. Either you come to benefit or you don't. When I speak, I'm trying to change myself and you. Not simply wrap off this minbar. I'm trying to have a change occur in our lives. And now we need to internalize today before tomorrow. Allah and His rights are the priorities in our lives. For the sake of Allah, let us do these four things. Let us truly believe in Allah, that means we need to seek knowledge. Let us truly do righteous deeds, so that we will materialize our iman and our knowledge. And let us give da'wah to the deen among our family members and the non-Muslims. And let us be patient in the process. If each one of us was to do this, then the whole community will change. The whole Muslim ummah will change. But my brothers in Islam, it is as Allah had said in Surah Al-Asr, that everyone is immersed in loss. And the ulama, when they comment on the surah, they say the terminology, the wording of the surah indicates that those who will be saved are a minority. Those who will do these four things are not the majority. They are the minority. Can we be among them? Shall we not be among them? Can we afford the loss on the Day of Judgment? No, we cannot. Those who lose on the Day of Judgment, ذَلِكَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينُ. This is the most clear loss that cannot be rectified. It cannot be changed. There is no making up for it. You fail in an exam today, you repeat the year, you have another exam, you manage. But you fail on the exam of the Day of Judgment, and you will be forever excluded from entering the school. Never will you be allowed to seek knowledge, nor will you be allowed to go through another examination. This is the reality of life, which I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give you and I the understanding of this basic reality, and enable us to act upon it, So we can truly be successful, not by speech, but by action. Verily, He is able to do all things. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.